Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, brothers and sisters, and welcome to Charlotte Christian Fellowship Broadcast Radio. My name is John Davis, and my co-host is Mrs. Davis. How you doing, baby?
Good evening.
And, of course, we co-host because the Holy Spirit is the host, and we have just been used by him to share the Word of God. Welcome tonight. And tonight, we're going to have some real talk about Jesus, the baby, Jesus the boy, and Jesus the man. We're going to also let everybody know what that means, okay, and just in those, and how Jesus, you know, grew from, and also the function of each one of those statuses, from a baby to a boy to a man. I want y'all to know also that Jesus, and again, I say to you, Jesus is not a boy. He was born by a woman, yet he was the Son of God. Right now, he is seated at the right hand of God in power, and he has power and leadership over everyone else, not only in this world, but in the world to come. We want y'all to know that this word that we're going to be discussing tonight is to free people up. This is a holiday season, and most of the time when you go around seeing decorations and stuff, you're going to be seeing Jesus represented in a manger. Well, first thing I want to make sure everybody know that this holiday has nothing to do with Christ. It does. They tag it to Jesus because you saw him cross again there. But this is a holiday. This is not the birth of Christ, and a lot of people tag them together. But we got to stop tradition to learn the truth, where we can free people up. Where they can, where we don't blaspheme the name of the Holy Spirit or the Lord Jesus and misrepresent him by saying, well, this is the season and the reason for the season. We want to, before we even start off anything, I want someone to invite everybody who's listening in to, if you'd like to join this conversation, and I'm hoping that you will, that you got to call in. And that number to call in on is 657-383-1624. Again, that's 657-383-1624. And I would like y'all to call in because my wife and I are not the answer people. We are part of the body, just part of the body, and there's many parts of the body. If you read the word, you'll hear we can't say we don't need the other part because we all are part of the same body, just one body of Christ. We are a 501c3 ministry. And like Jesus, we receive no salary. And all the funds and all enough funds, but all the tithes and offerings that come into this ministry go directly to the needy in administrative upkeep. This ministry's goal and one and only mission is to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and to make them disciples. That's just what we want to do. That's all we intend to do. And we hope that y'all would join us because the Lord pours his word into all of us. And we need to stop thinking of Jesus as a baby. We need to know who he is. He is a man. He is seated at the right hand of God. And so I want y'all to know that as we discuss this, and I want y'all to call in. Also, I want everybody to know that on Tuesday night, my wife has a broadcast, her and her co-host, Alicia Lockhart, and that broadcast is called Life's Uncertain Journey. And to join that broadcast every Tuesday, 7 o'clock, you got to dial that number. That's 929-477-3427. Again, that's 929-477-3427. And we welcome everybody. And remember, all scripture is used to it is inspired by God and is used to teach us what is true and what makes us realize what is wrong in our lives. So as we before we get started anything, I'd like my wife to pray us in. It's just okay, wife.
Amen. Father God, we're grateful that you love us. Thank you, Father God, that you have extended your love to us through your Son, Jesus Christ. And it is because of that love, Father God, that we are yet able to stand before you holy and without blame. That's what your word declares about us. We know, Father God, that if we looked at our lives, there's just no way that we could be blameless. But, Father, it doesn't depend on what we think, but what you say.
Mm-hmm.
If you say we're holy and blameless, then who are we to argue with you? But we ask you tonight, Lord God, that by your Holy Spirit's power, that you would be with us, that we may share this word, that it will come from a pure place. Father God, we can't talk about nobody because we're all in the same boat. But we're asking you, Lord God, that your Holy Spirit will reveal truth to us, because we don't want to do anything that is displeasing to you. At this late hour, Lord God, we need to make sure that we are walking in alignment with your truth, and your word is the truth. So have your way, Holy Spirit, tonight, as we yield ourselves to you. Grant us wisdom and understanding, and may we all humble ourselves, realizing, Father God, that we have not yet arrived.
Amen.
But we thank you that we are on this journey together. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Brothers and sisters, I want to start off with saying this again. Jesus is not a baby anymore. He is God. He's God-man. He was born by a woman, yet he is the Son of God. Right now, this moment we're talking, he is seated at the right hand of God, the Father. He's far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in this world, but in every world, but in the world to come. Jesus is a living word. Like, again, I say Jesus is the living word, okay? In the beginning, the word was with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. During this holiday season, most people celebrate Jesus as a baby. That way, we don't have to feel obligated to do what he says to do. We're going to talk about that again, because a baby, you know, can't speak. But Jesus, the man, spoke, and he told us what to do. So, again, most people celebrate Jesus as a baby. And as a baby, we don't have to do what he says, because there's all how cute he is and all that type of stuff. But Jesus is a man. But we need to let Jesus grow up. What does that mean? That means we need to, just like Jesus said, when the child, we acted as a child, when we grow up, we put childish things away. So he gave us the example of a child versus an adult. But most of us want to still see Jesus as a baby. As a matter of fact, they set up these little skits all over the place. Churches mainly, you know, have this thing set up with Jesus in a manger and the sheep and the shepherds and everybody coming to a baby. But you don't see them set up anything like John the Baptist, you know, or Jesus talking up on the mound or things like that. Because then you got to recognize that the reason Jesus came is the faith. Before I go any further, I want to ask the wife, would you like to share anything before I go further?
Not right now.
Okay. Remember, God sent Jesus, his son, into this world as a baby. Okay? And the purpose he did that was to, so that whatever we experience, he would experience. So what would have happened if he was born as full-grown man? Again, I'm going to say it again. What would have happened if Jesus became in the world a full-grown man? He wouldn't experience what we went through as young people, you know, going through childhood and all of that. So he had to come into the world like everyone else. As a baby, Scripture says that he did not judge the world when he came into it, but he came to save the world. And remember something, and I'll say this too. The Bible reports that as a baby, as a child, Jesus grew up and became strong in the spirit. Now, the baby had to grow up and became strong in the back and strong in the spirit. Now, let's talk about that for 1 second. We have children. When they grow up, what do you raise a child at? The Bible says you raise a child in the way he would grow in the world would depart from it. The Bible says that Jesus grew up and became strong in the spirit. What have our children grown up to be? What did we grow up to be? You know, so Jesus was growing strong in the spirit. And as a result, you're going to find out that Jesus never sinned. He was filled of wisdom. He was full of wisdom and grace and favor and favor. And the spiritual blessings of God was upon him. That means he was following the will of his Father. The spirit that was in him was growing as he was a baby, growing up. And he knew who he was in the spirit man, but he had grown up as in the flesh man. But yet, as a child, he was still growing in the spirit. He was steady growing. So whatever we feed our children, whether it not be food or whether it be what they listen to on TV, what they look at or things of that nature, all those things play a role in how the child grows up. Whether or not he's going to grow up worldly, whether or not he's going to grow up, worshiping the creations, or whether or not he's going to grow up worshiping the Creator. We make that, put into the child, how he's going to grow up. Not only what we do, but the teachers, his friends, and their friends, not he, but she too, their friends, all this pours into the children. Jesus had the same things around him. His parents, his uncles and aunts, his friends and stuff, because when he went to the temple, let me say this to you, and I'll read it to you in a second here. The parents went on a trip one time. They went to Jerusalem, and they went every year, okay? And it was the Passover, a feast that they were going to. Now, while they were there, Jesus was 12 years old. The Bible says he was 12 years old. And his parents, went with him to attend this feast. But while they were there, Jesus went missing. But they wanted to, shook up about it because they said, well, maybe he's one of his friends or something like that. So they didn't really look for him. But when they began to look for him, amongst all the people in the travelers' minds, they said, have you seen my son? Just like we would do. His parents, Mary and Joseph, said, well, have you seen Jesus? Have you seen him? Have you seen him? Nobody did. So for 3 days, they looked for him. But when they did show up, okay, this is what you really got to check this out. On the third day when they found him, they said, but when they did show up in the evening, they searched everywhere, okay? And when they found him, they finally found him, and they found him in the temple. Now, that's pretty cool. This is a 12-year-old boy, kids at that age running around, doing everything they want to. But Jesus wasn't running around and everything like that. He went to the temple. And what did he tell his parents? Why were you searching for me? Why were you looking out there for me? Don't you know I had to be in my Father's house? And when they found him, guess what he was doing? He was sitting there, and the Bible says he was sitting down with religious teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Now, this is the Son of God, 12 years old, talking to religious leaders and asking them questions. Remember what the Bible says when they talked about children growing up or the mouths of babies and stuff? Well, they're not talking about babies that can't speak. They're talking about young adults, you know? And so when we're talking about people, young people studying the Word, and it's God actually tells us to ask them questions. To ask questions. So that's what Jesus was doing. He was asking these religious leaders questions. And they were astounded. The Bible says that they said, well, who taught this kid? Where he come from? Because he was challenging what these religious leaders were saying. Okay? Now, like I was just telling you, when the parents found him, they said, they actually said, well, why did you leave us? And the Bible says that, you know, that he told them, look, I had to be in my Father's house, but then the Bible says that he went with his parents, and he was obedient, and he grew, and everybody around him began to love him, you know, and as he grew up. Now, from the time of 12 years old till about 30, we don't hear much about Jesus during that time, but the Bible speaks of it in a broad sense, and he grew up. From that time on, he was growing in spiritual in wisdom and the knowledge of God because he was God's son. So we knew, and from that time, and remember also what the Bible says, that he never sinned. Now, from the time of a baby to 30 years old, 33, at least 30 years old, something like that. I'm not a scholar and all that stuff, but I do know what the word says, and I believe everything in the Bible. The Bible says he never sinned. He was tempted, just like us, every mean, but he never sinned. And that is something that we got to realize that, you know, what that means is when he never sins, because that plays a part when we talk about him on the cross. That plays a part when we talk about when he died for us, the reason, and he forgave us of our sins. All of that makes a difference. You remember the sacrifice that they were doing in the Old Testament? Well, the Old Testament had to do it every year, continue to sacrifice every year. But remember when Jesus died on the cross, his blood was so pure for our sin, that purity. And that's what he came into the world to do, to die for our sin. So we're talking about a whole bunch of things, and from a child, from a baby, to a man, to a boy, to a man. And those three parts have to play a part, and we have to understand that when we're talking about Jesus. This season that we're in is a holiday season. There are many holidays all during the year. There's nothing wrong with celebrating them. But don't attach tradition or this day, like Christmas being Jesus' birthday. Don't do that to yourself. It's time to break from those lies when he was born. And let me say this too. I sent some out the other day. It doesn't make a difference if you know. Figure it out for yourself. It doesn't make a difference. Knowing that won't get you into heaven. Knowing when he died won't get you into heaven. No, like I said before, going to church every day, studying the Bible every day, will not get you into heaven. The Bible says, those who do the will of my Father. So if you can know all the knowledge well, but don't do it, what good is it? What good is it? So before I go any further, I'm going to ask the wife if she'd like to share anything at this time.
Well, yeah, I'm going to just try and appeal to our sensibilities, and I know everybody ain't got them, but I'm praying that those that are listening to this broadcast tonight are all believers, and that you are. And if you're not, then like my husband says, always ask God. He'll give you the answer. But we've got to realize the fact that we were brought up in a culture that was rife in error. In other words, they had been taught things that were not biblical, that were not genuinely godly. Mm-hmm. And what wound up happening is each generation taught those lies to their children and their children and their children. Until here we are in the 20th century, and there are very few children that know who God is.
Yep.
Because we've been so far removed from the truth. And that is why we see what's happening in the world happening. Chaos, confusion, anger, division, hatred, all those things are present in our world in a large degree because we have left God. We have totally, as the United States of America, we have developed our own faith. It is not the faith that Jesus Christ gave us. And so, unfortunately, as children, we came up believing that Christmas had to do with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
We were taught that. In our churches, they told us that. The songs that are written tell you that, so forth and so on, until here we are today looking at a holiday tradition as if it is a religious practice.
Mm-hmm.
And we are in trouble when we do that. And I'm going to tell you why. In the first church, Israel, all right, they had the same problem. That's why the preacher man said there's nothing new under the sun. Everything that was going to be again.
Mm-hmm.
And here we come around in the same state that the original church was in. Now, after God had delivered Israel from Egyptian bondage, okay, and he told them that I'm going to lead you into a promised land, a land that flows with milk and honey. You got houses that you ain't built. There's vineyards that you didn't have to dig. All this is waiting for you. Okay. So, but he warned them. He warned them in Deuteronomy 18. He said, now, when you come into this land that the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not learn to follow the abominable practice of those nations. Okay? He said, I don't want y'all mixing with them because you stand for righteousness. That's the same message to the church today.
Mm-hmm.
We're supposed to be standing for righteousness and holiness in all things divine. But we've got the world so confused, they can't tell the difference between what belongs to God and what belongs to the world. And that's the church's fault. Because we've been deceived. Okay? And we're taking on these traditions so that we can get along with everybody in the world. God did not ask us to get along with everybody in the world. As a matter of fact, he told us we was going to have problems with people in the world. They're not going to like you. They're going to say all manner of evil against you. He warned us that that was going to happen. Okay? However, because we're so thin-skinned and we want everybody to like us, we want everybody to come and fellowship with us, you know, we got to go along to get along. Well, God is not pleased. God is not pleased with that. He didn't call us to that. And so you can do the research for yourself. Go into your computer, you know, we got Google now, and look up the origins of Christmas. And after you've looked it up, tell me, come back next week and tell me after what you find out that you can say to God's face that although I learned what I learned about it, I still want to follow this practice.
Hmm.
Even though it's a pagan practice that you didn't institute for your church.
Amen.
I still want to do it because I think it's a nice thing to do. Mm. It's nice to pass out gifts to people. But the problem with that is, why aren't you doing that all year? Why you wait till one particular time of the year to use Jesus as an excuse to give?
Mm-hmm.
Why? That's supposed to be our nature as Christians. We're our DNA is giving. You see what I'm saying? Freely you receive, Jesus said, freely give. But we now have gotten conformed to the image of the world. We wait for this day, and now we are teaching everybody, bring your gifts, bring your presents and all these things. And I'm telling you that there's danger. There's danger in this. And I'm not saying that we haven't done the same thing because we were ignorant too. We were doing the same thing y'all doing until God allowed his truth to illuminate in our heart. The Holy Spirit checked us and told us to check. He said, study, I want you to find out, what are you worshiping? And then Jesus told his disciples, listen, be careful that you don't take the traditions of men and teach them to be the commands of God. And that's what has happened.
Amen.
The church has taken a tradition, a pagan one at that, and tagged Jesus' name onto it, and then brought it into his house, brought it into the place where we fellowship, and said, this is the way it's supposed to be. But don't take my word for it. Let the Holy Spirit speak to your own heart. Do the research for yourself. Because I'm telling you, we can think God is smiling at this if you want to. But if you look at the state of the world, you got to know, like I know, God is not pleased.
Amen.
He's upset about something. He is sorely upset. And every trick and trade that we attempt to try to get out of this mess, he confounds us. I'm speaking about the people of God. You're confounded, okay? Because he's trying to warn you, listen, you need to return to your first love. You left me. And you're having a illegitimate relationship with the world.
Amen.
And I don't like it. I'm a jealous God. He says, I'm a jealous God. You belong to me. You're not supposed to be flirting with the world. You're supposed to be different. I mean, you're supposed to be just like day and night. But you can't tell the difference. You can't tell the difference between the Christian and the person in this world.
Mm-hmm.
God said you're a peculiar people, a holy nation, a royal priesthood. All those roles have functions. And we're not functioning in none of them.
Mm-hmm.
And God is not pleased.
Amen.
And so I'm asking you to just do your own homework. Look it up yourself. And then read Deuteronomy 18:9. Then go on over there to 2 Corinthians 6:14 and tell God to his face that you would rather celebrate a pagan holiday, put his son's name on it as if it's holy. After he tells you what agreement had the temple of God with idols. He says, I'm going to make a dwelling place among my people. Therefore, you need to go out from the midst of this world. You got to come out. Come out of the world, church. Come out from amongst them, he said, and be ye separate. But you can't do that. We're so entrenched into this world system and culture that we're afraid to let the world go for our king.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Mr. Davis. Don't you go nowhere. Powerful stuff. Jesus was born. Jesus was a baby, then he was a boy, then he was a man. As a human, Jesus could and did experience all our temptations, but he never sinned. As a man, Jesus gave us two new commandments. The baby didn't give it to us, the boy didn't give it to us. As a man, Jesus gave us two new commandments, but we don't want to do them. So we keep him a baby with no authority of God and no resurrection power. That's most of it. And what are these two commandments? He said, we know the two new commandments, right? We know the ones he gave us. They are that we must love the Lord our God with all our heart, all our soul, and all our mind. And our strength. So let me say it again. We must love the Lord with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, and all our strength. And the second one is equally important, and that is to love our neighbors as ourselves. If we need help keeping his commandment, and we do, we get angry, y'all. We get angry with everybody. Some people sometimes, some people a lot of times. So this part that we're talking about, love our neighbors out ourselves, that means then that we know we're not doing that. So we know we need help. Don't lie to yourself because you call it God's lie, okay? And so we know we need help keeping these commandments. Even loving God with all our mind and heart, our minds go left and right and here and there. We actually put sometimes, we put things in comparison with him. And our God is a jealous God. When we say we don't do that, let's talk about our family. You know, I got to do this for my family. I can't go this. I can't do that. Let's talk about this prayer. Well, I ain't got time to do that. I got to be over here. Let's just talk about, and Jesus said this is one of the lessons. He said he stayed in prayer. Well, the thing is, people don't understand what prayer is, so they ain't got time to do it. Prayer is staying in communication with God. A person that can't talk to him, he still has communication because it's in the spirit. And that's how we got to walk through in spirit and in truth. But thing is, though, we come with different excuses all the time. So, again, we need to keep the commandments up, but we can't. So we need to pray. Ask God, our Father and Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ, to give us spiritual wisdom and insight so that we might not, so we might grow in the knowledge and wisdom of him. Pray that our hearts may the change and flow in the light, and so that we will stop breaking God's commandment. We can understand that we can understand and the confidence. The understand and have confident hope in Jesus that and Jesus, the man, has given us. Let me say that again, because I'm reading it all fast and wrong, so I apologize, y'all. But the thing is, this is, I'm going to put it right to you like this. We got to pray. And the reason we pray is that for God can help us to keep his commandments. We can't do it on our own self, okay? And we pray for the understanding and the wisdom to have confidence that Jesus gave us, who he called his own people. He called us holy, but it's because we don't communicate with him and know who he is, what ends up happening is we do partial, and we say that's good enough. Well, Jesus is perfect, and he called for us to be perfect. So therefore, and when we talk about having communion, when we got ought to get somebody, and we say, well, I forgave him, but you don't forget. Do we pray, when we pray to the Father, say, Lord, forgive our sins, do we want him to forgive them and not forget them? But we do it to other people. So when we're talking about loving God with all our might and all our strength, it takes God's strength to get that out of us. Because that stuff remains, and that stuff remains is like an octopus. So as long as it's there, that root, bitter root, stuff's going to come out. It's going to come out. A lot of times it's deeply rooted in, so we forget it. But we wonder why we get angry sometimes. And the person they did, you know, just said something, but we get all angry. You know, those things are deeply rooted in us, and we need the Holy Spirit, God's Holy Spirit, to search us out. But the thing is, we got to allow him to. He's not going to force himself on us, but we got to ask him to search us out. And remember, the word of God says it cuts all the way through the bones, all the way to the soul. So that word can find it. And then that light can shine on the darkness and put it out. But we got to stay in prayer, because if we don't stay in prayer, that will come back on seven times worse. And that's what this whole thing is. We want to keep him as a baby. As a baby, we ain't got to follow these commandments. And we can go ahead and say, oh, little baby. Well, Jesus is a man. Jesus is at the right hand of God, all authority. We just read that. And the authority he has that God has given him, he's given to us, that we should cast out demons and that stuff like that. We need to fight. That is what Jesus did, and we need to follow him. So Jesus is the only one that never sinned. We sin, y'all. Stop acting like we don't. Pray that God's Holy Spirit will give us understanding to understand incredible greatness of God. In other words, we can't even understand how great he is. We need the Holy Spirit to help us understand that, for we can, you know, realize who he is when we're praying that he is who he say he is. And that was he called his holy, and his holy power that he's given to us, the resurrection power that would cleanse us. But the thing is, because we don't want to be clean, because we want to hold on to some of these things, well, like traditions and stuff, and that we don't want to break us. What ends up happening is you say, well, you turn yourself away from your family. You're not. You're telling the truth. And the Bible says in the end days, family going to be against family. This is nothing new. But the thing is, we cannot continue in this lie, because you can't get into heaven with that lie. And I'm telling you, as long as you keep Jesus as a baby, you can't get into heaven. And as long as you keep him on the cross, you can't get into heaven. Because Jesus came up, cross, died in the ground, and was raised 3 days later. So let me tell you, if he came on the cross, he has not died for your sin. He's still on the cross. You got to let him be who he is. You can't make up things and think that that's okay and that's God. No, you got to realize who we're talking about. We're talking about Jesus, the man, the baby, the boy, and the man. Three different times, three different age groups, still God and still God with us. And now he's seated at the right hand of God. We need to recognize that. What Jesus up down here was the information. And he then sent the Holy Spirit to us to remind us everything that he told us. And what is he telling us? And the word, when we read the word, we fellowship with one another, we continue to stay in prayer, and the Holy Spirit fills us with the knowledge and the wisdom of him. This is true. This is the same mighty power that we're talking about that would change our hearts and minds, that raised Jesus from the dead. He raised him, and he's seated at the right hand of God, like I said, and full authority, sitting in the heavenly realm. If you remember, I think when one of the times my wife's program, or either another program, the broadcast, or the broadcast I had, we talked about Jesus and the authority when he's sitting at the right hand of God in the heavenly realm. But we don't understand what that means. That is a powerful statement. In the beginning, before the earth was created, the words were God. Well, guess what? We were in Christ Jesus then. Now, Jesus is in the heavenly realm sitting at the right hand of God, and we in Jesus still yet. He didn't move us. We would move ourselves. That's how it goes. But the thing is, his blood that he shared, that's the repentance blood that could forgive our sins, and then we reunited. You know, reunited to Christ. We can do nothing on our own. I think we had a discussion one time about as long as you're connected to the vine, you can bear much fruit. But apart from the vine, you can bear no fruit. So when you talk about when you did this good thing, but is it the right thing? Did you stay connected to the vine, or did you do it under your own strength? Well, those things have to go through the fire. Those works that we do have to go through the fire. And if it get burned up, you know they're man-made. Those things that God done is creation. We do, we make things from his creation. We don't create nothing ourselves. It's all about God. So, again, I say to everybody, the resurrection power, that spiritual power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us. That Holy Spirit lives in us. And we are to learn who he is. We are to learn what his purpose is in our life and what our purpose is to serve him, how to serve him. Not our way to do it, but his way to do it. Mrs. David, please share something.
Yeah, I just want to go on the record as saying, and I shared this in our Tuesday broadcast, that, you know, I'm not saying that all tradition is bad.
Right.
Okay? I don't want you to think that that's the topic of the conversation, because it's not. I'm not fighting against tradition. What I'm standing against is what Jesus stood against. And that is mixing tradition with truth. And whether you know it or not, Jesus didn't like that, because the first church, Israel, they did the same thing. He didn't like it when they did it, and he don't like it when we do it.
Yeah.
Okay? And I'm going to tell you, he had an encounter with the church of his day, and I'm, you know, they, of course, we know that they weren't the New Testament church. I call them the church because they were the so-called called out ones, the those who represented righteousness to the people, and they called themselves the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they had a run-in with Jesus about this very thing that we're talking about, okay? And you cannot dismiss the word of God. You really get yourself into a dangerous territory when you read the truth for what it is and then say, nah, I don't believe that. You're in trouble. But in Matthew 15, there's an example of the Pharisees coming against Jesus because he didn't keep one of their man-made traditions. Okay, and you hear, you know, I'm not saying, you know, Jesus did not have a nice little quiet conversation with them. As a matter of fact, the conversation was almost like the one he had when he took the cords out and overturned the table. He didn't like that either, because people were taking advantage of the house of God. Jesus didn't like that either.
Mm-hmm.
And you see how he responded. But here we are, the Sadducees are telling Jesus that him and his disciples don't keep the tradition, or the wash the hands tradition. It was a ritual that they had set up for the people in their day. Not nothing God ordered. This is something that the church ordered, mm-hmm. that people should do. And so, and they asked, why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? That's what they call it, the traditions of the elders. They didn't even say why do they break the word of God? No, they were being very honest. Why do they break the tradition of the elders and by not washing their hands? And Jesus basically rebuked them. And he said, well, answer me this. Why do you break the command of God for the sake of your tradition? Do you hear Jesus asking us that same question? Do you think just because our tradition is putting his name on a Christmas Eve, a tradition, a man-made tradition, that it doesn't apply to us? It does apply to us. And he's speaking to the church. He's speaking to his church. Why do you break the command of God for the sake of your tradition? And he goes on to say that Isaiah said, well, you worship me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. That's what he told them. You worship me with your lips, but your heart ain't with me. It's not. Is that true of us? Is that true of the modern day Church of God? He went on to explain the impact of what they were doing. And this is really scary. Their decision to just deny the command of God for the sake of the tradition of the elders equals this. Jesus said, you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition. King James said, you make the word of God of no effect. The church, you make the word of God of no effect by teaching people traditions as commands of God. He does not like it. We're leading people astray. Let me read this to you. Can I just share this?
Go right ahead.
Then, okay.
Share the word.
It's really going to shake you up.
Good.
All right. And I'm reading from Jeremiah. And I told you the first church did the same thing we're doing now. There's nothing new under the sun. And God didn't like it when they did it. Okay. Jeremiah 10. Hear the word which the Lord speaks to you, O house of Israel. That was the first church. Thus saith the Lord, do not learn the way of the Gentiles. Okay? The Gentiles were the people that did not follow God. They did not know God. Israel had been called to bring the word to the world, the word of God to the world. He says, do not learn the way of the Gentiles. Do not be dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the Gentiles are dismayed at them. For the customs of the peoples are futile. Okay, they call them customs. We call them tradition. And he told Israel, look, the customs that the Gentiles follow, they're futile. They don't have any impact. And let me listen to the description of this custom that was happening in Jeremiah's day. For one cuts a tree from the forest, the work of the hands of the workmen with the axe. They decorate it with silver and gold. They fasten it with nails and hammers so that it will not topple over. They are upright like a palm tree. They can't speak. They got to be carried because they cannot go by themselves. God said, do not be afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, nor can they do any good. The practice of making an idol from the trunk of a tree is also referred to in Isaiah. Both Isaiah and Jeremiah declare the futility and absurdity of making and worshiping idols. We don't look at it as worshiping idols. We just think that it's a nice custom. But you see here how closely related they are? God called them idols. Did you have to carry in your house, fixed to a nail to make it stand up, and then you decorate it? You tell me that ain't no Christmas tree. Tell me it's not. You can't tell me that. You know it and I know it. So the conclusion of all of this is this. You cannot be a follower of Jesus Christ and still follow the traditions of men as if they are the commands of God. Keep your traditions as traditions, but keep God's commandments and his word separate. Do not bring them together. Don't mix them together. Because evil, the table, you can't eat at the table of the devil and then come eat at the table of God. It don't work. You cannot sit down in the midst of idols and then come sit in the house of God and say, oh, everything is okay. And sometimes you bring the idol right into the church. Oh, but it's okay. It's nothing harmful. God says it differently. It is harmful. And we need to stop playing around because the time is short.
Mm-hmm. Brothers and sisters, my wife mentioned it earlier, but I'm going to break it down to you so you can understand it. Matthew 15, you mentioned before about men breaking tradition. So I'm going to break it down to you so you can understand it for the fact me and you talking. And starting with verse 1 on 15, it says, and this is some Pharisees and teachers. Well, I'm just going to say it like this. Sometimes you'll get around people, especially those who've been in church a long time. And they talk about different foods you eat and cleanliness and stuff. And they talk about, well, look, man, it's our tradition when you sit down at this table to wash your hands, man. Like, you know, and we don't eat no pork up in here, you know. And you're going to find a lot of people like that. We know that God has said that everything that he created is good. But we also know that he said if it offends somebody else, or you know, to tell you this, about they cook their food to worship some idol or something, we ain't to mess with that type of stuff. So, but those, you know, fine people say that's our tradition. That's like Christmas. It's a tradition. But let me break it down to you a little bit more. He says that when you find those traditions, you're going to find people that violate them. You say that people like ourselves, who are free from these type of religious occult things, that's what they are. These things say, well, we're free of those, but they say, we, because these people in leadership are people who have authority that know the word, that are studying the word, these scholars, they say that we're breaking, you know, the tradition, but they're the ones, but making their laws, by the laws they've made, their traditions come against actually the word of God. As the Bible says, Jesus told them like this, why y'all breaking the word with your tradition? So in other words, the Lord said, do not, try to put a tag on the item of the we do something to ask God to bless it. In other words, like this Christmas thing is going on. We're going to put Jesus' name on it and for Jesus, make it a Jesus holiday. Well, that's a tradition. But we're going to tag it with Jesus to make it right. And Jesus don't like that. The Lord don't like that. We're using his name in vain. And the reason we use it, and this today is what's going on, it's since it's tradition, what's the main tradition? This giving. Giving and receiving gifts. Okay? These things that don't give God any glory. Okay? So we use it in a form to say, well, this is a tradition that we do, and it's godly. It is not godly. Jesus said in scriptures that when you see someone in need, he didn't make a date on it or a time on it. When you give it to him, and remember, when you give it to him, it's like giving it unto him. But we actually have the nerve to say we take a value of a gift, you find many parties today. I mean, seriously, they say, well, the gift's no more than $5. Okay. And then you got these things, these high gifts. Well, I bought my wife a car. So I bought my husband a car. You know, well, I gave him $100 as a gift. You know, what type of stuff is that? But those are the traditions that goes down today.
And what we have done is make God's word of no account. And the world's going to do it. But we should come out of the word. Stop those man-made traditions. Let me go on and show, leave it a little bit more to you. He says, in, anyone who speaks and disrespectful of the father or mother, in other words, anybody who misrepresents the father or mother and says that, you know, well, I can't give you this, buy you no food, or I can't pay you a rent. I got the money, but I got to give to the church. Because the tradition say, well, I can't give it to her because the church needs the money, and so I can't give it to you. Because these are traditions paying your tithe. But God says, you got your mother and your father in need. You know, your family member or somebody you see in need. And you say, I can't give you this money because I got to give it to the church. Those traditions got to be broke, y'all. We got to stop doing those things. And then you put a tag on it, got to give it to the church. When the God has put the person in front of you or your mother and father in front of you, and say, well, this is what a need is. That's why I gave it to you for them. Remember who God is, everybody. God created everything. The Bible actually, he owns all the cattle on the hill. What that simply means today is everything down here he created. Okay? So God don't need nothing. So these things that he's given us for our use and to share with others. But the thing is, because of our traditions and things we're about, the way a person looks, we pass on, and I ain't gonna, like pastor in the church, whenever you give money to the church, remember something. You give it unto the Lord. If the man takes it and buys the car, that's on you. That ain't got to do with you. That's on him. Okay? Whenever you give it unto the Lord, you give it unto the Lord. Make sure you know that. But if you don't, if you have some of your heart that you want to give, don't give. God don't need your money. Don't give. But when you do give, give it unto the Lord. So don't make it tradition. Make it, would you want to love the Lord? Would you want to give and put the blessing of the Lord? Use this money to benefit your kingdom and advance your kingdom. And you pray for that man in leadership that they would use those funds that you give them. Or you yourself can give it to this needy who you see. If it's going, instead of going to the third party, you can do it yourself. And you ain't got to walk up, just drop it and keep walking. People pick up things today. You ain't got to say nothing. But this is me. This is the word I like hearing from a person. They can keep their thank you. I listen for this word, God bless you. You know? The thank you can keep. But when you give it unto something, that's how you know. That's how I know. I'm about nobody else. But I like to hear that word when I give it unto the needy. God bless you, brother. And I'm going to tell you something. You ain't got to hear it from them. Remember, as you're giving it unto one, from the Lord, from your heart, mind, spirit, as you're loving the Lord, you're giving. You get your thank you, but you'll get it from the Lord. And that's what you want it from, okay? So remember this, these traditional things that's going on, and they've been going on for a long time, y'all. I'm telling you something. God is a jealous God. God is a jealous God. We are his children. Some of you got children, how do you feel? I don't care if it's a little baby, a middle-aged child, or an adult child. When they dishonor you and disrespect you and don't listen to you, how do you feel? That's the same thing with God called us, who called his children. How do you think he felt when we disobey him and do it with these man-made traditions? Instead of breaking away from man, which is saying, Lord, forgive me. Turn from their wicked ways and turn to him. How do you think he feels when we refuse to do that? He sent Jesus in the world to save us. The baby we was talking about, he sent him into the world, good boy. Talk to religious leaders about their traditions and stuff. And as a man, he said, look here. This is the commandments I'm leaving you. But we need help to keep them. We got to break them traditions, y'all. We got to start walking in truth and faith. We got to start walking in the light. The time is near, y'all. The kingdom of God is upon us. You got all kind of things happening all around us. You got confusion everywhere. A person asked me the other day, he said, well, we pray for your leaders, and the leader's going crazy. We got one coming in. I say to you again, stick to the script. Pray for your leaders. If you're going crazy, pray to God that God will change the man's heart. Don't be putting your bad mouth on the man. We see things in the news, stuff like that. When you see these things happening, pray. Pray. That's the only answer, y'all. Jesus is the way. He said it's truth in the life. But we need help doing it. That's why we're talking to y'all tonight. telling y'all that even the two new commandments that he has given us is so hard to do. If it was easy to do, he would have never had to come. We're getting down to the wire, y'all. I want my wife to share. Do you have something to share, wife?
Yeah, I'm just going to close us out with this statement that I don't want you to think that we're saying these things because we're squeaky clean, because we're not. We have not fully arrived ourselves.
Amen.
And you got to remember, we're on a journey. It's just like, you know, it takes you time to get from here to Pennsylvania. You're not going to walk out your door and be in Pennsylvania. You got to get on that road, and you may have roadblocks along the way, you know, accidents, no matter, you know, weather, things that slow your road down, okay? Well, our life's a journey, and that's the same road that we're all on. And so some of us have come along a little further than the others of us. And so that's why discipleship is so important.
Yes, it is.
Because those that have gone on a little further than us, those are the ones we want to get with. You see, they done been down the road. They know a little something. And that's how Jesus set it up. He says, I want you to teach them what I taught you. Baptize them and share the gospel with them. Baptize them and make disciples out of them. By teaching them what I taught you. That's how the kingdom of God grows.
Mm-hmm.
We're ignorant today and behind the eight ball because nobody discipled us. You go to church on Sunday morning, that form of discipleship is fine, but in and of itself, it can't help you grow. It's just a lot of information, and you sit back there on the pew, get fat. But a whole lot of information that you can't even walk it out. Because you don't even understand it. But you can't talk to nobody and ask nobody because the preacher is preaching.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why Jesus instituted discipleship, where you can have a relationship with somebody who will walk alongside you on your journey and guide you. Okay? That doesn't make them better than you. It just means that they just down the road a little bit, a couple blocks more than you did. And they can tell you about the dog that's on that block and, you know, to look out for the water main break on this block, because they've been there.
Yep.
You see. So that's what we're talking about. And we didn't, you know, we had to come through the same territory of ignorance. We didn't know. Because, like I said, we grew up in a culture that taught us that that's the way things were. But at this last hour, as we're preparing to meet our King, we have to come right. We have to come correct. Because, beloved, you will not leave this planet walking in sin, walking in error. You won't. One thing, you won't even be able to recognize Jesus when he comes. It says in Colossians, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men. You see, all through the scripture, they're telling you to watch out for it. So, Father, what we want to do is to commend our listeners to you tonight. We ask you, Father God, that you would give them a hunger and thirst for righteousness, that they would seek your face, Lord. I pray, Father God, that you would put a fire under their feet. You said, I'd rather that you be hot or cold, but since you're not, I got to spew you out of my mouth. You don't want God to spew you out of your mouth. Return to your first love.
If you diligently seek him, he says, I will be found by you. And we thank you for our time tonight, Father. In Jesus' name, may a blessing be upon every listener's household. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. God bless everybody. Good night.
Good night.